Okay, so there's this one phrase in the research for today that I can't get it out of my head.
Oh, I think I know the one you're talking about, the one about dressage.
Yes, it describes working equitation as, and I'm quoting here, applied dressage.
Yeah.
That is really fun.
It's a great line, isn't it? It
Yeah.
just, immediately gets rid of that stuffy reputation dressage can sometimes have.
Exactly. It's less sit perfectly still and more let's go do something. And that's what we're diving into today. This whole ecosystem built around that idea. We're looking at the St. Leonhard's Quallen Trail Cup.
Right. And if you're listening and thinking, oh, great, another horse show, you really need to hold on.
Yeah.
Because the documents we have, they cover 2024, 2025, and now the new 2026 schedule. And they don't describe a horse show. They call it an oasis.
An oasis. I mean, that's a strong word for a competition. My experience with horse shows is, stress, dust, and maybe some yelling.
Precisely. But the organizers here, and Andrea Janisch and Ulrich Rosinger, they had a really specific mission. And we can see it evolve over these 3 years. Their
Yeah.
whole philosophy is right there on the flyers, training under tournament conditions.
That's the hook right there. It's a
Yeah.
competition where the prize isn't really the ribbon, it's the training. So today, we're gonna saddle up.
Oh, nice one.
Had to. We're gonna look at how this whole cup works, the surprising math behind winning it, this incredible prize that involves a world champion, and honestly, some really touching stories that show this whole system, it actually works.
And we should probably mention we're recording this on Saturday, February 7th, 2026. The new season's about to start, so it's the perfect time to look at how this thing grew from a small idea into like a fixture on the calendar.
Okay, so let's start with the absolute basics. I'm a writer. I hear about this oasis. What's the barrier to entry? Do I need a super fancy horse, a huge budget?
No, and that's the first thing that just jumps out from the rules. The barrier is solo. First of all, the cup itself,
Yeah.
it's free to enter.
Free's good.
There's no extra cup fee. If you just ride in one of their trail tag events, their trail days, boom, you're automatically in the running. And they really stress that it's for everyone, beginners, experienced riders, it doesn't matter.
Okay, but here's the part that I found fascinating. We talk a lot about having a learner's mindset, and usually at a show, you ride your test, a judge gives you a score, maybe he writes needs more energy on your sheet.
Right, and you go home wondering what a 6.5 really means.
Yes,
No.
total confusion. But this cup does something I have almost never seen before. They've built in this feedback loop. It's kind of brilliant.
This is their secret sauce. This is what makes it all work. The sources explain that every single ride is filmed.
Wait, every ride, not just the winners.
Every single one. And that video is linked right next to your name on the results list. So they actually encourage you to sit down with your score sheet, your protocol, and watch your ride side by side with the judge's comments.
That's huge. That literally turns a competition into a private lesson.
It does. It closes that gap between what you felt you were doing and what was actually happening. You feel like you rode a perfect circle, but the video shows more of an egg shape.
Right.
When you see that and the judge's note says circle not round, it finally clicks. You learn why you got that score.
So it's not just a number, it's a diagnosis.
Exactly. We've got a quote here from Petra Sochneros. She's the managing director of Pony Team GGMBH. She calls it an unforgettable day without stress.
Without stress. Again, not a phrase I associate with horse shows.
And she specifically says it gives you motivation for development that otherwise wouldn't be there. It's that mix. Low pressure, but really high quality feedback gives you a safe space to fail, which is, the only way to really get better.
So that's the engine. Let's talk about the growth because looking at the data from these 3 years, it seems like people are catching on.
Oh, the word is definitely out. If you just track the number of events, it's a clear upward curve.
Okay.
So in 2024, they had 7 events.
Okay, a 7-stop tour. Pretty good for a first year.
Then in 2025, they scheduled 8. Now, there was a little bit of a problem. The event at Gutthollern got canceled because of strangles.
Strangles, that sounds unpleasant.
It is. In German, it's Druse.
Yeah.
It's a really nasty, really contagious bacterial thing that affects horses. If a barn gets a case, they have to go into total lockdown.
So the organizers had a problem?
They did,
Mm-hmm.
but they pivoted. Safety first, obviously. But they adapted. Some of the other venues, like Hofgut-Moerhof, they just expanded their events to 2 days to make up for the lost date. They made sure riders still had their chance.
And now, looking at the 2026 schedule.
9 scheduled events. It's getting bigger.
Right.
But, and this is a really critical point for anyone competitive listening to this, the math of how you win is getting a lot harder.
I noticed this. It's kind of a subtle change in the rules over the 3 years, but it's a big deal.
It's a huge deal. It tells you a lot about how the competition has matured. So back in 2024, The rule was your top four scores for the year counted.
So you could have a few great shows and then, I don't know, take the rest of the summer off. Or you could do all seven and just drop your worst three scores.
Exactly. It was pretty forgiving. Then in 2025, they tightened it a bit. Your top five scores counted.
Okay.
But look at the rules for 2026.
I'm looking at it. It says the top seven scores.
Seven. That is a massive jump in commitment.
Wow.
It means you can't just be a fair weather competitor anymore. To win the 2026 Cup, you have to be consistent across almost the entire season, from May all the way to October.
It totally changes your strategy. It's not just about having one brilliant weekend. It's about keeping your horse sound and happy and traveling for months. It rewards reliability.
It does. It shows the Cup is looking for a true champion, not just a lucky one.
Yeah.
If there are nine events and seven of them count, you basically have to be at everything.
Well, speaking of champions, let's talk about the why. Why are people driving all over the country for this? The prize. It's not a blender.
No. No, it's not. The prize is what connects this grassroots series directly to the absolute top of the sport.
Mm.
The winners of each class, WE, WA, WL, and the youth class, they win an exclusive lesson with Tiago Alves.
Okay, for those of us who maybe don't follow the Working Equitation leaderboards every day, who is Tiago Alves?
He's the Working Equitation Speed World Champion.
Uh-huh.
And Team World Champion.
Whoa. Okay, the Speed World Champion. That implies, well, a certain amount of velocity.
A lot of it. You can think of working equitation having a few phases. There's dressage, there's ease of handling, that's navigating obstacles with style, and then there's the speed trail.
Right.
The speed trail is just wild. Yeah. It's going through gates, over bridges, around poles, at a flat-out gallop. It is pure adrenaline.
So getting a lesson with him is like winning your local club tennis tournament, and the prize is a private session with Novak Djokovic.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And the sources say he travels to Germany, to Meuerhof and Ratscherdating specifically for these clinics in the fall.
And I saw that even if you don't win, being in the Cup gives you a leg up, right?
Yes. Other people can book spots in the clinic, but if you are a Cup participant, you get priority booking and you get a discount.
Mm-hmm.
It creates this whole ecosystem where the local series is a direct pipeline to world-class coaching.
I love that. But what really makes all this real for me are the stories. We can look at spreadsheets of scores, but the testimonials, that's where you find these incredible narratives.
Oh, absolutely. And the one that stands out has to be the Ehrig family.
Yes, Britta and Antonia. This is like something out of a movie.
So it starts with the mom, Britta Ehrig.
Yeah.
She's a veterinarian, and she's on the German national squad, the WEDEV. So, you know, she's the real deal.
Okay, so not a beginner.
Not at all. And in 2024, she decides to bring her young horse, Fantasia, who's only six, to the Cup.
A six-year-old horse is basically a teenager, a little gangly, maybe a bit silly.
For sure. And Britta says in her testimonial that the Cup was perfect for Fantasia to learn the obstacles without all the pressure of a big multi-day championship show.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. She won the whole 2024 Cup in her class, Class WL.
Okay, let's just decode that alphabet soup for a second. We see W-E, W-A, W-L.
It's the German system.
Yeah.
We is Einsteiger, or entry level. W-A is Anfänger, which is beginner. WL is leicht, or light.
Got it.
Then you move up to the master classes, WM for medium and WS for schwer, which is heavy or advanced.
So Britta wins the light class on her young horse. Great story. But then in 2025, she levels up.
She moves up to the master class, M&S, with a different horse. But the real story here is her daughter, Antonia.
This is my favorite part. So 2024, Antonia shows up. She's in the youth class, W.E. Juggen, and she's riding a pony named DeMont.
And we have to mention this detail from the source material. The pony, Yaman, he's blind in one eye.
Blind in one eye. And they're doing obstacle courses. That's just, that's an insane amount of trust. You're asking an animal that can only see half the world to walk over wooden bridge.
It's all about that connection.
Yeah.
But in 2024, things were tough. The results weren't there. The source material is very direct. It says Antonia finished in last place.
Last place. That is the exact moment where so many people, kids and adults, would just quit. They'd say, this is too hard. Or my pony can't do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
But this is where that whole philosophy of training under tournament conditions comes back. Because it's a supportive place, because they have the video feedback, they just kept going. Last place wasn't a failure, it was just data, a starting point.
So what happened in 2025?
The big turnaround. Antonia and Diamond came back, and they won the Trail Cup in the youth class, from last place to champion in a single year.
That's incredible. I mean, that story alone justifies this entire series. It proves the Oasis idea isn't just marketing. It gives you room to fail so you can learn how to succeed.
And it's not just them. We see this all over. There's another testimonial from Laura Weiss and Nadine Weigerding from a place called Reitschule Horse Life Balance.
Oh, I love that name.
They say the cup is what helped them go from class A, so beginners, all the way up to class S, the highest level in only a year and a half.
That is a crazy fast progression, A to S in 18 months.
It's unheard of. That can take a decade. But they credit the trail cup's low-pressure environment. It acts like an incubator. You're not thrown into the deep end. You get to wade in, and before you know it, you're swimming with the sharks.
And the vibe of the whole thing seems to be a huge part of it. There's this quote from Teresa Lichtenauer about an event at Paddock Trail Assenbeck. She mentions fair tasks and honest judging, but she also talks about the family atmosphere.
A family atmosphere. It's a community.
Okay, so we've got the heart. Let's look at the stats. Who are the names to watch? If I'm showing up for the 2026 season, who should I be worried about?
Well, the history gives us some clues. Back in 2024, the first champions were crowned. In the entry-level Class WE, it was Verena Roosboom on a horse called Leonhard's Nathan.
And Class WA.
That was Astrid Schmidl-Kasna on Seda. And I love her quote. She said, the cup motivated her to get back into the tournament air again at an advanced age.
See, it's never too late.
Never. And Britta Uhrig, as we said, won the WL class. But then you get to 2025, and you see a new crop of winners. Nina Schneider took Class WE on Talisman.
And Antonia, of course, won the youth class.
Right. Julie Dacher won WA on Pamina, and Veronica Auer won the big WL class on Sol. And Veronica said the cup helped her and her horse grow beyond themselves.
So, looking at the 2026 documents, the official cup ranking section lists those exact four names again. Nina Schneider, Antonia Uhrig, Julia Dacher, and Veronica Auer.
It does. Which tells us they are the defending champions. They're the ones with the target on their backs. If you want to win in 2026, you've got to beat them. And remember, you've got to beat them over seven events this year.
The pressure is definitely on. So let's lay out the tour. We have the 2026 roadmap. Where can people go to watch or even ride?
The season kicks off May 10th at RFE Wolfig. That's the opener.
Okay, May 10th. Mark your calendars.
So that goes through some really classic Bavarian venues. Reiten Lodge, Eschenberg, Gut Hohenberg, Fedafrunda, M. Wendelstein. But there are two events on the calendar that are sort of the big highlights.
Which ones?
First, Hofgut Meuerhof. That's June 27th and 28th. It's a two-day event, and it includes the master classes, WM and WS, so that's where you'll see the top riders. But it also has something listed called Work and Run.
Work and Run.
Yeah.
Does that mean I have to get off my horse and actually run?
I think it does. It's kind of like a biathlon. The rider does part of the course on horseback and part of it on foot. It adds a whole other fitness challenge.
I'm tired just thinking about it. I'll stick to the horse part. And what about the finale?
The season ends at Gut Eising, October 10th and 11th. Also a big two-day event. And Gut Eising is a very prestigious, very well-known place. So finishing the season there gives it a real championship feel.
And it sounds like these places are more than just arenas. The atmosphere is a big part of the appeal.
A huge part. The text calls out Paddock Trail Assenbeck again. People mention the panoramic views. It's just a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
And maybe most importantly, the delicious coffee and cake.
You cannot underestimate the power of good cake at a horse show. Mm. That is the fuel that keeps everyone going.
It really is. It all adds to that oasis feeling. When you're a bit stressed, a good slice of cake in a mountain view can fix a lot.
It sounds incredible. So to wrap this all up, we have a competition series that's free to join, gives you personalized video feedback, has a world champion as the grand prize, and can take you from last place to first place.
It's honestly a perfect model for how to build a sport from the ground up. You start with education, you make it accessible, you add a huge incentive, that Tiago Alves lesson, and you build a community that cheers for the kid on the one-eyed pony.
It really just turns the whole high-pressure, high-cost model on its head.
It does. It forces you to ask, what's the point? Is it the ribbon or is it the ride?
And I think that's the thought I want to leave everyone with today. We live in this world of intense youth sports, this winning is everything culture. But here's this little training under tournament conditions model.
Where getting the video feedback is more important than getting the blue ribbon.
Exactly. So is it possible that this is actually the fastest way to produce champions? I mean, you look at Antonia Uhrig, you look at the Horse Life Balance team. The evidence suggests the answer might be yes.
I think you're right. You slow down to get faster. If you focus on the learning, the winning just kind of happens.
So if you're curious or if you just really want some of that delicious cake and a nice view, maybe check out a trail tag this year. The season starts May 10th. Sounds like a good way to spend a day.
Absolutely.
That's our deep dive for today. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next one.